All right, welcome back to the Business Roundtable podcast. I am your host, David Carr, and I'm super excited to have a brand new guest on the podcast, Jim Ketting. We're going to get into it here today about coaching and background. There's a whole great backstory about Jim and I, what we'll be touching on. But Jim, thank you for joining me and being a part of the Business Roundtable podcast today.
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate
absolutely,
it.
Absolutely, absolutely. So Jim, you know, you and I met through a great group called Faith Driven Entrepreneur. We've been part of Giant. You have written books. You've just been a mentor to me. And I feel like you've got so many great stories and background and experience to share. And I thought it would be great to have a meaningful conversation about your experience being a coach, leading, speaking, being a mentor to others. Because I really feel that's transformational and so very needed. And so if you don't mind, Jim, we're just going to step back a little bit and give you an opportunity to kind of give us a little bit of your backstory and what got you to becoming a coach today.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good start. So basically, all of my life have been a serial entrepreneur. So I've built a lot of businesses and I've had some incredible successes. I've had some disastrous failures. And I found that in all of the businesses that I work with, you know, people are something that is involved in every business. Mm. And I've always been one for self-improvement and growing myself. And I've been fascinated with leadership and growing as a leader. And as I mentored a lot of businesses over the years, because I was successful in some of the endeavors, people would come to me and say, hey, can I get coffee with you? Can we go out? Can we talk? And we'd talk about business stuff and we'd talk about this and I'd give them ideas and I'd coach them on how to handle situations. And then all of a sudden, years go by and I find that some of these people that I've coached and mentored just as part of life, now have very successful businesses. I mean, some businesses are worth, you know, $250 million.
That's amazing.
And some businesses are much more than that. And so I find that I've taken people from ground zero to nothing to having these great, great businesses. And I was approached a few years back saying, oh, you should be a coach. And I was instantly turned off by that because it's like, oh, everyone's a coach. Saying coach is kind of like a multi-level marketing. It's kind of a bad word. And they said, no, Jim. He said, you're really good at it. You have some gifting. You have some talent. And they really encouraged me to go out and be a coach. And what I found is after diving deep into it and reading a lot of books and studying people who are really gifted at this, I really enjoy it. And there's nothing more rewarding than finding somebody who wants to change and go through this path. And after working with them for about 6 months, you know, all of a sudden the penny drops and they get these aha moments and they can see, and I'm like, oh, we're just getting started. And it's really fulfilling, really fulfilling.
Absolutely. I mean, no, I've seen that. I've experienced that, Jim. And that's why I love having like folks like you on the Business Roundtable podcast, that people get to experience this and see this. Because I had the kind of the same experience too, Jim, like you said, that coach, like, oh, I'm not sure. But when you switch it up and you say, here's how I've been able to influence and impact somebody's life, just amazing.
Excuse me,
you know, right? I mean, so, you know, you kind of made this switch that I'm hearing, and we're like, oh, I actually can be a leadership coach. I actually can do this. What in your own life, what were some experiences that you felt prepared you? Like, what was a defining moment for you? Is there something that stood out to you specifically?
Yeah. So if we go back to 1989, one of the things that I needed more than anything in 1989 is a mirror. I needed to look into the mirror because I couldn't see who I was. And in 1989, I was a drug addict and alcoholic. Everyone around me knew it. I was the only one who was convinced beyond the shadow of a doubt that I didn't have a problem.
Mm.
I couldn't maintain a relationship. I couldn't hold a job. My finances were terrible. Everything was a mess. But to me, I looked at the world like everyone else had a problem. If I just got the one break or that break, then everything would be fine.
Yep.
And I got to the point where, well, maybe I do have a problem, or maybe I do have a challenge. And I dipped my toe in the recovery pool, and I started going to a couple of recovery meetings, and I started looking at other people, and it was really difficult getting off the drugs and the alcohol and the nicotine. And over a period of time, I started noticing that the fog cleared. I could make better decisions. And I noticed that I had a new sense of awareness, and how I was running my life was not really good. And so I started this journey of personal development and improvement. And it started with just kind of cleaning up from that, learning how to do internal things that I didn't know how to do, like rule my emotions, communicate better. And so I just went through this process. And then after I got a few years sobriety, somebody else looked at me and said, "Hey, how did you do this?" And then they got sober. And then, you know, I started that. So that was kind of my journey. And as I went through the process of growing and becoming better, now today I'm a guy who reads about 100 books a year. And I just really love studying that topic of self-development and personal improvement and self-leadership too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I'm seeing you on the end of this spectrum, which is fantastic. And I think it's important for people to hear, you know, it does just take that we all have different moments, and to hear like where you've been able to come. You've built businesses, you've mentored leaders, you've helped others overcome addiction. So they're seeing your success. So, you know, how has this now shaped your approach to coaching, how you show up as a coach from where you're at now? And like I said, you're reading these books. How does this affect and show up for you as a coach today?
Well, the first thing that I, you know, as a coach, one of the things I'm looking for is somebody who's looking to grow. Usually there's a situation or a challenge in somebody's life where there's pain or there's struggle. And if there's not, I find it, you know. Sometimes they don't see it. And so I'll find it. And from there, the journey starts with a person to help them become self-aware. So I have a lot of tools that I get from Giant, from other places, to help somebody look into a mirror. I have these tools that are kind of like mirrors. The one that I really like is the five voices.
Yeah.
So if you're familiar with Myers-Briggs or any of the other DISC or the Big Five or Enneagram or, you know, any of those out there, the five voices is probably the best.
Yep.
It's by Jeremy Kubitschek and Steve Cockrum. And it's just by far, I think, one of the best tools that you can have. So basically there's 16 personality types roughly. And I found that, Dr. Daniel Amen did about 500,000, 250,000, 500,000, some just ungodly amount of brain scans. And he found that there are 16 types of brains. And I thought, I bet you there is a correlation there.
Yep. Yep.
And when I help somebody understand what their superpowers are and what their kryptonite is and how they see the world, and help them understand that the way they see it is not the way everyone else sees it. Then that's the starting point of coaching somebody.
Yeah.
Is helping them with a mirror. After I get the mirror, then we start looking at self-leadership. And self-leadership sometimes takes discipline, and that takes a lot of energy. But that will become a habit and takes much less energy. And so when I look at disciplines. I know that one good discipline will lead to another. And I can't completely change somebody. You know, if you think about habits and and things, what's the one thing that makes the big difference? You know, for me, it was putting down the sauce, you know, stop drinking. And that was the one thing. Just do that every day.
Right.
For somebody else, it might be, you know, we've got to lose some weight. We've got to go to the gym. We've got to do something else. And I can never get there. And if you study Atomic Habits, you know, the the process of just driving to the gym every day. No, you don't have to go in, just drive that. What's that small thing that you can do to help that person change?
No, and that's great.
That's it. That's kind of how I start with coaching.
And I want to get into the concept, Jim, because coaching is one thing. You said, you know, you came out of addiction, AA. There's like sponsors in there, for example. And then in a lot of businesses, we were talking about being mentored or have a mentee. Can you break down like the maybe confusion in those terms? Because I feel like they can get overlapped. And what at least in your mind, what do you see the difference between those specific roles?
Well, I think that's a good question. So you've got a sponsor, you've got somebody that might be discipling you, you've got somebody who is a mentor, you've got somebody who might be a coach. You're looking for, I think the best terminology is a guide. And if you use the story analogy and think about the hero's journey, in every story, you think of Mr. Miyagi is Danielson's, Danielson.
Yes.
He is the guide. If you think about Gandalf, he is the guide to Frodo. If you think about Morpheus, he is the guide to Neo. If you think of Obi-Wan Kenobi, he is the guide to Luke Skywalker. It doesn't matter what story you're looking at. They all have a guide. And that guide is their coach, their mentor, their sponsor, their whoever they're looking up to. They're going to help that person. And so when you look at your story, because you're living a story right now, you're the role of a hero of your own story. But many times you're the role of the guide in somebody else's story. And so what I'm like trying to do is work with somebody who can see that there's something they want, but there's a problem and they're having difficulty getting what they want. And so they seek out a guide, and that guide can be a person, a book, you know, they've got to get outside of themselves. They can, they need a sponsor. They need somebody to help them grow. Because the problem is, and I was asked this question a while back. I said, that's the dumbest question I've ever been asked. Somebody asked me, he says, what are your blind spots? I'm like, I don't know what my blind spots are.
If I could see them, I would tell them. No, they wouldn't be blind spots.
I have to have somebody else help me with my blind spots. And we all have blind spots. Now, I don't have as many blind spots as I used to because I have somebody who's helping me see these blind spots. But that guide, that mentor, that coach, that person that you bring into your life and invite into your life is somebody that is going to get you there faster. And I think from mentorship and coaching, I've been a mentor and had mentors in other organizations, but it's just a fancy term. You know, somebody will come to like, oh, I'm your mentor. Okay, well, what does that mean? What makes a good mentor? You know, mentor is somebody who's been there, done that. The best organization here in Kansas City is one called the Helzberg Entrepreneurial Mentorship Program, where Ewing Kaufman was a guy who was a billionaire in Kansas City, and he mentored another guy who became a billionaire in Kansas City named Barnett Helzberg. And Barnett said to Ewing Kaufman, I don't know how I can ever repay you for all this mentorship. And he says, that's okay. You'll find somebody else to mentor. And Barnett went and put together a whole group of business leaders and taught them, you know, we need to be mentoring and giving this back. And so it was the one community that I wanted to be a mentor in. And I found that they were very, very particular on who was a mentor and who is not. And they had a lot of scrutiny. And they said, you've got to have these characteristics that they were looking for. And not everyone could be a mentor. In fact, I know people who are very successful businessmen who want to be mentors for this organization. And they've said, no, you're just not a fit. You're not going to be a good mentor. You're not going to be there. They don't have the skill sets. And so for me, that gave me a lot of, I don't know, helped me with confidence and everything else. I thought, this is a group I want to be a mentor in, because the standards were so high and the other mentors were so good in there. Now, coaching is a little bit different in that it seems like anybody can be a coach. Well, that's true about anything. Anybody can be a plumber. Anybody can be an electrician. Anybody can be an engineer. Anybody can be an attorney. And all of those things are a dime a dozen. Good ones are hard to find. And so finding a good coach is different. And so sometimes I'm a moach, which is a mentor and a coach.
Moach. I like that. I haven't heard that one before.
And so when I look at mentoring somebody, I can say, listen, I've been down that path. Don't go down that path. Here's some of the things you're going to find in business. Here's what I have as an example. And I can just tell them. Coaching, I'm more asking questions. Like, what's going on? So I might be mentoring somebody in a business sense, and I can tell them about some very practical things. As a coach, what I'm always trying to do is help somebody grow. And the specialty in coaching, there's a life coach, there's a business coach, there is a leadership coach, there is a sobriety coach. So it's different roles for coaching. So if I'm working with a C-suite executive, coaching them is a little bit different than if I'm working with a troubled teenager who
makes sense.
Needs different things. Both of them need self-awareness, self-leadership, but there are different aspects to it. And so with the business owner, I would be kind of a moach, more of a mentor and a business, but the troubled teen, I would be more of a personal development life type coach for that.
Well, you covered a number of things here I want to touch base on, Jim. So I really like how you broke it down: coach, mentor, guide. I think people can relate to, especially when you give these examples. You know, I'm a big Star Wars fan, Obi-Wan Kenobi or Mr. Miyagi or Morpheus. So I think people can identify with somebody that has gone ahead of you in the journey, have been there, have seen these things, and are going to be able to pay attention and say, hey, like you said, don't go down that one. I've been down that road before, and helping, you know, guiding them. And so I agree that all of us need that. In fact, you were mentioning, you know, you have others still in your life, right, that are guiding you, putting you. I think any good coach or guide has somebody else in their life. It's not like I've just figured it out and that's it. You know, you have other people in our life further along the journey ahead of yourself myself.
Definitely.
You know, so anybody that you find as a coach that says, I'm a coach, I got my certificate, like, so who's coaching you? Oh, nobody. I just got my certificate. I'm just going and doing this. I'm like, that should be red flag. You know? Have you been living this way? And Jim, you've been living this way for decades of, you know, number one, like you said, leading yourself well, and now coming to a place where I feel I'm healthy and less blind spots. Still, we all have them, but in a place where, hey, I can look, I like to say there's somebody to the right of me and there's somebody to the left of me. The right that's further ahead the journey and somebody behind me on the left. We all have them. And so figuring out where you can help others along that journey, right?
Yeah, you think about Paul, you know, he had Barnabas, who was his, you know, mentor, and then he had Timothy, who he was mentoring. So, you know, there's always that type of relationship there. But I think you hit on something that's really, really important. I was consulting with a company, and the owner of the company said to me, every time you come in, you just bring a piece, he says, I don't know if it's the Hawthorne effect or whatever, but our productivity's just gone up, everything's happening, and there's an unspokenness to it that's, because of the person I have become, I rub off on other people.
Mm.
And there are a lot of intangibles and things that I can't put my finger on, but there's a rubbing off on them. Mm-hmm. The other thing is understanding PQ and EQ and IQ. All of those I've worked on to master. I can go in and I can read the room. Mm-hmm. I can see that a leader has just called this person out and not called them up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's created all of this cortisol and adrenaline.
Mm-hmm.
In the prefrontal cortex. And what they've done is they've just locked that person up for the next 4 hours that they can do nothing. And they don't realize they've done that because they can't see that's a blind spot of theirs. But I go in and I say, oh, well, I've got to challenge this person, but if he doesn't trust me, if I don't have that relationship, if I haven't built that stock up, he's not going to receive my challenge, but there's some things I really need to challenge this person on.
Mm-hmm.
If I just give them all sorts of support and no challenge, then the problem is I've created entitlement, you know, if they don't do their work, I'm going to do it for them. You know, well, this is not working. Oh, well, yeah, let me jump on that. Let me help you out.
Yeah.
And then I become passive aggressive, or all, you know, see leaders become, I'm hitting about the things that they need to do, but not really directly confronting them. And I think that's some of those giant tools that have been very helpful.
Absolutely. I mean, and it's like, I like this rubbing off, like you said, there are intangibles, Jim. I totally get where you're coming from. And I feel like, you know, good coaches, good mentors, you know, that will happen. What have you seen? Okay, so going to go back a little bit, but for others that have said, okay, you know what? I think I can just do this on my own. I'd rather just try to get it without a guide or a coach. You know, what happens when leaders just decide to just, you know, not get that external input, like you said, that mirror, and they said, you know, I'm just going to charge ahead. I'll figure it out.
Oh, there's pain. There's pain. They don't know the pain, you know? So, you know, I always start off and I put my worst foot forward. I'm a risk taker. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I've been bankrupt twice. I've gone for it. And I tell people, I said, let me put my worst foot forward. You know, everyone's always, hey, let me tell you how great I am. I said, I'm a drug addict. I'm an alcoholic. I've been bankrupt twice. I dropped out of college early. I'm dyslexic. And, I'm really, you know, and people are like, oh, wow, you know, like, well, everyone has problems. But
absolutely,
a lot of business owners or people that I look at, I'm not there, you know, sometimes I'm, who am I to deny you your pain? Because you've got to learn from the pain. And there's a painful situation that you're going to go through. Mm-hmm. And it might not be a right season for a coach.
Mm.
So, you know, a lot of times you haven't gone through enough pain. Well, people say, well, I don't want to go through the pain. I said, yeah, you do. You want to go through it, because if you didn't want to go through it, you'd hire a coach or get a guide or have a mentor. But yeah, what you're saying is I can do that. And I've been in countless situations with so many people that have gone through so much pain and so much hurt that all of a sudden they're ready. You know, they're going to face a problem. If I go talk to somebody and their life is nothing but, you know, keeping the boat full of fuel and tea times, you know, and, you know, making sure the bank's over $1 million, I'm not going to help.
I want to get to your point of there's pain. Either way, I think it's just how long do you want to pain and or maybe even add suffering in there, being long suffering. There's pain in our choices. I think about, you said earlier, like literally the food that I eat today, you know, I can get a short term of hit, right? But there's pain if I'm not choosing wisely in the long run. Yeah. And I think if people that realize, okay, look, I can shorten the pain. I can shorten, meaning I have, there's still going to be choices I got to make. However, let's make it useful and practical instead of you're actually choosing it and going through it instead of saying, well, you know, it's, I'm letting things happen to me. And I think somebody like yourself as a coach is saying, look, you're asking questions and it may be uncomfortable, but it's going to get you to and help you take the right actions to get the desired outcome. Right, Jim?
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
There are, you know, so as folks are listening, I hope they're hearing this clearly. Like, I believe everybody needs a guide, a coach, a mentor throughout life. And there's lots of different domains. You mentioned leadership, business, could be in your relationships, marriage. It could be with children, lots of different things. Money, how you're managing money. You know, you might have and probably should have multiple mentors and coaches, you know. And then we talked earlier about like you're being providing a blind spot. You and I, before we even started recording this, you gave me some feedback of things I didn't see. And I'm like, oh, I didn't even consider that. And you're like, hey, you might want to adjust this or tweak this. I'm like, oh, okay. Have you thought about this? And so I've learned in a good way to take that humbly and be teachable and coachable because I know I'll be better off, even though sometimes it's not like, and I'm so grateful for somebody like you, Jim, that I've invited in my life that can speak truth. Like you said, bringing challenge and support both to rise up. Call me. I like the language you use. Call me up instead of calling me out. And I've learned to embrace that. But I learned that that's not something that people just, you know, get right away. It takes some time, like you said, to get to that place. Because you said, you know, years ago, you're like, I don't have a problem with drugs or alcohol. And it took all everybody else saw it, but you couldn't. And finally, you're like, okay, no, I do have a problem. I do have a challenge here. And I want to get better, you know?
Yeah. Well, you've done so great, you know, the last couple of years that I've known you. I mean, I've just seen a new trajectory on you, and I'm excited. I see you all the time, and it's just, you know, we're kindred spirits, you know, we're looking to grow. I think one of the challenges a lot of times when you think about leadership or, you know, being a good coach or being a good mentor or being a good guide, the challenge with a lot of people is they don't have accountability and they're not growing. And so when I was at a very large, hospital and I'm in there and I'm talking to one of their nurse leaders and we're talking about leadership and, how they go about this. And she just was so excited to tell me all about it. And it was really, really good. But then I was a little sad because she says, yeah, we get try and get together once or twice a year and work on our leadership skills. And I'm thinking, you know, you can see the music background here. If I said, okay, you know, here we go. Just read the book. Okay. Yeah. Just, you know, go ahead and read that. We're going to play Friday night. We're going to have a little seminar on the weekend. I want you to get these songs down. It's not going to happen.
Not going to happen.
And if you ever have gone and listened to a fourth grade band, it's not a pleasant experience. It's not the same as listening to a symphony of people who have spent years honing their craft, getting better at it. And when you start thinking about personal growth and somebody who knows how to read the room and how to really lead cultures and just get incredible productivity, that doesn't happen after a weekend seminar. You know, I can't help somebody grow. I can be a great catalyst and I want people to hire me as a keynote speaker, but that catalyst is that match, that proverbial match that's starting and you're lighting a little bit of kindling. But it can't. You can't throw that big log onto that match. That match is not going to catch that big log on fire. You get the fire going. You get a couple people in the organization, and now that thing's starting to burn. You can bring in a newbie or whatever, and just dump that log onto the fire. And now it's going to be a culture that's extremely productive. And so I wanted that. That's an interesting caveat to have out there as far as, you know, the accountability that people need and how they go about learning. That's why coaching is, I think, so important. You can't just have leadership training in an organization to fix a culture.
Oh, it's a culture. No, I love your analogy, Jim, of a fire. I do a lot of campouts with my son, and you start the fire small with a little bit, you know, like kindling or whatever. You've got to get some going and keeping the momentum, and then it's you know, stoking that fire, continuing to build on it. You know, you do, and you don't, like you said, and it's if you can maintain that, that's the gold. But that does take time. You don't, you can also do a bonfire and blow it all up, and then it goes all out too. So you've got to be like adding fuel and continuing to stoke that fire. So again, you know, what would you say then if I'm, you know, when I'm either an individual or my company, you know, to look for a coach that could do that or has done that, right? What's your advice to, like, if you're looking to hire somebody or you're looking at the characteristics, what should they be looking at? What's the questions they should be asking?
Well, it's two things. One, I want somebody who's kind of been there and done that. So if I'm looking for a coach, and you got two coaches there, you know, I've got, let's say this could be a great coach, but let's say I have a 25-year-old, they've got purple hair, lots of piercings, tattoos up and down the sleeve, and says, oh yeah, I'm a coach. It's like, well, I don't know how good of a coach that would be, you know. So there's some discernment on how a person carries themselves. It's,
yep,
I've been divorced thrice and I live in a van down by the river and I live on government cheese, you know. That's not sometimes the best coach. So I look at things, you know, does the person have a good marriage? How are their kids doing? Have they had successes? Have they had failures? You know, everyone's going to have failures. Everyone's going to have successes.
Yep.
And I look at that person to really get to know them. And I have people that tell me, it's like, oh, I really want you for a coach. And I said, I don't know if I'm going to be a good coach for you. You know, sometimes, David, you could be a better coach than me for different individuals, you know? And so that's why I like having a network of coaches.
Absolutely.
Because you've got to connect. I mean, you know, I don't really coach a lot of or mentor a lot of women. I have a couple that I coach, but I think sometimes there's a good person to have somebody, you know, who might be a woman coaching another woman. Not all the time, but I think that makes a big difference. And my personality is much different than another personality.
Absolutely.
And if I have the same personality as somebody else, we're just clicking and we get this the whole time. And I might be a good coach, I might not, but sometimes I'm trying to help them with blind spots. And if they both, you know, two people have the same blind spots, it's not really working. I think that's something to look at. But I think the other thing is to have a scalable system. When I tell somebody I'm going to coach, one of the challenges is I said, oh yeah, I'm all gung ho, let's do the coaching and everything else. And then 30 minutes later, not 30 minutes, but 6 weeks later, they're like, you know, some things have come up. I'm just really busy right now. I'm like, you've got to make the investment. And I think you've got to have a coach that sets expectations, holds you accountable, is very encouraging and supportive, but also very challenging. So I teach people all the time, if you got something difficult to say, I say, I'm going to tell you something really difficult. Might hurt a bit, but it will help you tremendously. But I'm not going to tell you unless you want me to tell you. It could sting a little bit. Do you want me to tell you? Oh yeah, tell me. You know, but I set it up.
Yeah, you've.
I set it up. I didn't. You know, I'm preparing them. Or I'll say, I want you to hold your hand over your belly button, because this is going to go right in. It's going to help you a lot, but.
Sting. Well, I mean, and I love, Jim, your approach. Like, this is not a short term fix. And the truth, you know, about growth, and if somebody is really committed, I mean, I think, you know, there are people that will sell you. Unfortunately, I feel like some coaches out there, the quote unquote coaches, sell you quick fixes or just do this one thing, and they're not really telling you like you said, the real truth, Jim, of like what's involved, the cost and what it's going to take to get you there. And so, you know, I think you're living it out. Hopefully your people as they're listening in, they're living, seeing how Jim has lived this out and why he's such a great guide and why, again, we like to collaborate together using giant tools and other things. But, you know, you talked a little bit about this earlier about leading ourselves, but, you know, getting ourselves in a place where we can be coachable and why it's so essential for anybody in a leadership role to be healthy in mind, body, spirit, before they try to lead others. And sometimes we try to do it prematurely, but we're not doing the work on ourselves, right?
Yeah, you can't give away what you don't have.
Yeah, it's so important. I know we're getting close to the end of the episode here, Jim, because, you know, but this has been really, really helpful because I hope as people are listening, they're doing an inventory and they're saying, look, you know what? Where in my life am I not having a mentor or a guide? And where it would benefit me instead of, like you said, Jim, kind of lingering in the pain or the suffering of the situation. You might even realize, I think, Jim, as a coach, sometimes we bring in and we're like, do you realize, like, you've kind of numbed yourself? And you talked about this earlier. I think people do numb themselves with alcohol, whatever, buying things, scrolling on their phone, whatever. Because the pain is so much, when they're not getting to where they want to be in life, right? So,
That's the one of the biggest challenges. It's reshaping our workforce. And in fact, I'm talking a little bit about that in the TED talk that I'm going to do
yeah.
Coming up, because one of the things that happens is you have stress in the workplace, and how do people cope? Alcohol, cannabis, some opioids, scrolling until 2 a.m.,
Netflix binging, whatever.
gaming,
Yep.
pornography.
Yep,
Or,
absolutely.
Netflix binging, or one of my favorites is, hey, Doc, I'm just under a lot of stress in work. And Doc says, I've got just the thing. Here,
Yeah.
take this.
Right.
And the problem with all conflict in the workplace is it comes from unrealistic expectations. And when people are self-medicating, scrolling all the time, drinking cannabis, whatever, their expectations become less realistic. And so it brings more conflict in there. And I mean, there's nothing wrong with having a glass of wine. There's nothing wrong with watching Netflix or being on social media. But when we're doing that to escape, you can go to any major respected institution who has done studies on this, and there's a lot of data about how escapism, over medication, substances are reshaping our workforce.
Yeah, no, I see it. Jim, as we're getting to the end of the podcast, number one, I'm going to make sure we get all your links in our show notes. You and I are
Okay.
connected on LinkedIn among other ways. You're going to be doing a TED Talk, which is actually TEDx Talk coming up here in the UK. So that's super exciting.
Yeah.
What are the other ways that people should find you, follow you, Jim?
All they have to do is Google me. Just go out and just type in Jim Ketting, and they'll
There you
find
go.
all sorts of things that they can do. So that's all. You just go to Mr. Google, type in Jim Ketting, Ketting, and I'll pop up.
Yeah, Jim's a great resource, and I'm so glad you're here, Jim. As we're wrapping up, maybe what's a final takeaway that you want to share if somebody perhaps is feeling stuck, they don't know, or maybe it's a belief or mindset that you would want to encourage or impart to them today on the podcast.
Oh, if you're feeling stuck, the best thing to do is get out of yourself. Start helping somebody else. Reach out to somebody else.
Yes, absolutely.
Pick up the phone, call David, say, David, I need a coach. David could be a great coach or not. Call me. I could be a great coach or not. We'll help you find
We'll
somebody.
help you. Absolutely.
But finding your niche and getting out of it, there's so much joy and happiness on the other side of your situation because you've gone through a struggle, and you
Yes.
got to have that guide to help you get through the struggle.
Absolutely. I mean, absolutely.
Luke wouldn't have got to go, you know, fight without Obi-Wan.
That's right. He wouldn't destroy the Death Star and be a Jedi. And, you know, so absolutely. The Force was with him. The Force was with us, Jim.
You got to go find your Obi-Wan.
There you go. There you go. Thank you so much, Jim, for being on the podcast today. It was a real pleasure and an honor to have you on the Business Roundtable.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate you, David.
Yeah. Appreciate you too.
You're a good friend, and I've loved getting to know you.
Yeah, it's right back at you. Thank you guys for, of course, subscribing, following along. Leave any comments, feedback for us. I'll make sure that Jim gets that too, and we'll have all the resources on the podcast notes. Thanks again for listening, everybody. Be well, be coachable, get out there and find your Mr. Miyagi, Obi-Wan Kenobi, and may the Force be with you. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
See ya.